Thank you.
Well, it's sure good to have brother and sister Plimley and
the
late Maria Plimley with us tonight.
Amen. God is
we
good.
Go back a long way, 5.5 hours and many years. It's good to have them here with us tonight and
God bless them.
Joining us in our service. We got a phone call earlier and he said, we just might be able to make it to service. And then Sister Maria called my wife and said, what time service? I said, I just talked to her dad. That's all right. Welcome to Williams Lake, British Columbia, Canada. Glad to be a part of God's big family when we travel, wherever we go. We know we got a home where we could make home. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would be so kind to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Tonight I'm going to kind of lay out for us what I believe to be our primary focus. In some ways it is a reminder. And I also believe that it defines and it also continues to redefine our purpose in our living for God. Matthew chapter 20, or chapter 16, pardon me, verse number 24. So then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we thank you tonight for the privilege we have to gather together. Allow the Holy Ghost to manifest and minister in our hearts tonight. We ask you, God, to allow our ears to hear, our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us. We're quick to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight I want to preach to you a message titled, Bearing Your Cross. Bearing Your Cross. When reading the words of Jesus according to the book of Matthew chapter 16, beginning with the final words of verse number 25, pardon me, to the majority of readers it becomes evidently clear that the words spoken in just these two verses of Scripture carry within themselves words whose impact is meant to change the very course of the life of the ones who read it. It was defined, it was purposed, it was said as a statement, it was said, I believe in some ways, as a mandate, this is what's going to happen in your life. So when a person makes the conscious decision in their lives to want to live their life for Jesus Christ, in the initial stages of making such a decision, on the surface, such a decision might appear to be somewhat simple. Surely there can't be much involved in my decision and wanting to live for God. So now I'm to point and to place my focus on living my life for Jesus more than just living my life for myself. Meaning maybe attending church a couple of times a week, taking the time to try to develop a prayer life, purchasing a Bible, and even considering placing myself under a pastor, a man of God, in order for me now to be able to receive spiritual guidance. That doesn't sound so tough. It sounds like an easy road to hoe. And for many, this is the perception of how this new life in Christ is to commence. So off they and off you go upon this new journey of your life, wherein many times, shall I say, unaware of what this new life's journey really entails. See, I'm not just talking to you about surrendering your 10% of your gross income, your tithes, nor the fact of once having repented of your sins, once having been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, the washing away of your sins, and being filled with the Holy Ghost evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue. For tonight I'm talking to you about the need of you now seeking to live a godly and a holy and a separated life in Christ. Tonight I'm talking to you about the fact that you're no longer your own, for you have now been bought with a price. Tonight I'm talking to you about the fact that life for you is what and will be called upon for you to surrender and to be willing to sacrifice your life, not for yourself, but now for the cause and the purpose of Jesus Christ. When we are in the world, what do? We focus on getting ourselves a job, doing things to get us our toys, taking our money and placing in things that we want, living our life any which way that directs us to where we feel we want to go. But when we start living for God, that goes to the side and God becomes the focus. Our purpose is to set our sights and to set our goals upon heaven. The Bible says, if any man or woman or boy or girl come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So tonight, let's seek to answer the question of just what a cross is. What's a cross? First and foremost, the cross is a symbol of surrender, and in some cases, it's a complete surrender of your life unto Christ. Sometimes I have to say, you know what? I gotta change everything that I'm doing, the focus and the direction I'm going in. I gotta seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I gotta seek God in my life. I gotta seek the will of God, the purpose of God. And from there, what a cross represents is your decision to want to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 4, that we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. There's a brand new man, a brand new woman, a brand new boy, girl walking in your shoes. Your mind and your heart begins to change, your direction, your focus, everything that you are, everything that you're about. People should say, there's something different about you. You look different. You dress different. You even talk different. I can tell by not seeing you in places where I used to go that you're not there no more. You're different. A cross in concerns to the Bible represents a symbol of Christ's suffering, of his, Jesus' sacrifice. See, it was by the way of the cross that a sinner can, through the precious blood that was shed and the life that was given in exchange for theirs, ours, yours, we can cross on over to the side of being, from being unredeemed to that of being fully redeemed. Full redemption plan in and through the power of God. In other words, in order for you or for our life sacrifice to be accepted, we first must go by the way and through the way of the cross. I can't sidestep. Everybody has to come the same way. Doesn't matter what your name is, your background, your family, how old you are. If you're old enough to understand what's right and what's wrong, you still got to repent. You still got to tell God your story, and then you got to make a conscious decision to turn around. The songwriter writes the song, take up your cross and follow Jesus. See, a cross is what we as born-again believers in our everyday lives must bear. Well, how do you do that? As I just said, it's by our surrendering our lives. Well, how do I do that? Well, by being willing to put our life's objectives behind and not in front of our new calling. Suddenly, things change. Hey! You want to go out for dinner tonight? No, sorry, it's church time. What are you doing this Sunday? We're heading out for a picnic. Well, I'll be free after church. Church? Well, just miss a Sunday. Don't matter. No, I don't miss a Sunday. No longer is your life all about you, for now your existence instead needs to revolve around Jesus Christ. It's a mindset. It's a thought pattern. I want to please who? I want to please God first, not me first. I want to follow God first, not me first. Yeah, we got to work. We got to pay our bills. We got to do our best to remain faithful to our commitment to God. But our bearing our cross is what should take on a whole new meaning. Again, meaning just as John the Baptist, who John records in his gospel in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 30. He writes, he must increase and I must decrease. That's very simple. If you look at people today, a lot of the generation Z or X or whatever they are, you know what it is? It's all about me. It's about my wants, about what I want, it's about my direction, it's about my purpose in life. But when you switch that, John the Baptist said, he must increase. I must decrease. It's all about him. See, living for God, I want you to know, is not a couple of days per week duty, but living your life for God is an everyday experience. It's not just a life, but it's a lifestyle. I've met many people throughout the last several years who talk to me about, well, I'm faithful to church on Sunday, and then I do what I want for the next 6 days of my life, but I go to church on Sunday. And I, well, how about you? I said, well, I do go to church a few times a week, but you know what? Living for God is a lifestyle. It's not my life. It's a lifestyle. Every day we're to represent and we're to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. I've used this analogy before, but it'd be an awful nice thing for somebody to say to you, you know what? You look like your father. And I don't mean your earthly father, but your heavenly father. You talk like your earthly father. Look, there goes a Christian. He or she, they are Christians. They look just like their father. Amen. See, the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we act and conduct ourselves in public and in private settings, which includes where we go, along with who we associate with in our everyday life. As the light of Jesus Christ is what should be what people see. Why? Because the Bible says it's Christ in you, that hope of glory. You've got something I want. You've got something I know I need. There's something different about you, and I want you to tell me about that hope that lies within you. See, bearing your cross is what calls for you or us to share the hope that lies within you, as it was the sheer grace along with the mercy of God that Jesus Christ called you out of darkness in order to walk into his marvelous light. We don't become an exclusive, set-aside club, the elite. No, we become messengers. We become those that share the message. What do you have that I don't have? What I have is what you need. And I don't say, well, you know what? You could have belonged to us and to our group. But what you've got to tell them is, you need to belong to Jesus Christ. What was it that you in your life decided upon in walking with Jesus Christ? I decided to give him everything that I want. I decided to give Jesus more than I'd considered in the past. In order for this to come about in your life, as I said, and boy, you're saying, boy, you're really focusing on that, Pastor. Brother, you're really nailing it. There's got to become less of you. The cross that Christ died upon on Calvary's Hill didn't come about without the payment of an ultimate price. Bearing a cross is the least we could do. It is a reasonable service. It's something that we do in reflection to the life that was given for us. People say, I want to live for God. I want to live my life for Jesus. I want to pattern my steps after his. Really? Is that the truth? Is that truly what you desire to do? All right. Now, if you want to do that, you want to live your life for God, you want to pattern after him, now you've got to bear your cross. Now you've got to take up your cross. You say, well, how do you do that? By showing the world around you the fact that you're not your own. In view of your purposes, your goals, now that the cross that you have chosen to bear clearly defines how you and your life no longer are yours, but you are now hid in Christ. Meaning your life is, and it should become a reflection of God, of the God you serve. Everything we do, less of me, more of him. Well, I got to seek first God. I got to put God first. I've got to change my mindset. You know what? Well, I don't feel like going. I don't want to do that. I don't feel that's really necessary. Well, it's not all about me anymore. It's about him. What would Jesus want me to do? How would Jesus want me to do in that situation? Where would Jesus not, or would he like me to go? How would Jesus want me to dress? How would Jesus want me to talk? You know, I mean, maybe in front of mom and dad, or maybe in front of the church family, but, you know, I get to school, I get on the job, how do I talk? How do I behave? What is it that I say? What do people know me as outside of the four walls of the church, outside of the comfort of my home? Who am I? I believe the purpose of our bearing our cross, if for no other reason, is for you in this natural life to get yourself ready for the day that Jesus Christ calls you home. And I've had people say, well, Pastor, you don't understand the cross that I'm carrying and the load of the burden I feel that I'm expected to have to carry sometimes. Sometimes it feels like it's more than I can bear. I don't know if I can take this walk or live this life. There's a story of a man who, while carrying his cross, he often grumbled and he complained about having to bear such a cross in his life. And one day, it was a Lord who came along and he heard his despairing words. And he offered to take his cross from him, and he led him to a room where he could now go in and order for him to choose a different cross. Wow. That feels so much better. I'm so glad God took that away from me. And so once having entered the room, all that man could see around him were crosses of great height and apparent weight. And as he looked around, he thought to himself, there's no way I can carry any of these crosses. And just before he gave up in further despair, to his surprise, it was a shock. To his surprise, across the room, he saw a much smaller and a more sizable cross. Yeah. And as he approached this cross, he thought to himself, surely I can carry this cross. And as the thought left his mind, the man turned and he saw the Lord standing right behind him. And the Lord said, oh, I see you found a cross. Yes, Lord, for all those other crosses were too big and they looked too heavy for me to bear. Well, my child, the cross you just chose to want to now carry, I want you to know, is the one that I just took from you. See, the other crosses are they that you would have had to bear if it wasn't for me being the one to carry them for you. We often look at life and think, wow, this is a tough job. This is a long road. Really? On the outside of living for God, if anybody has any kind of a memory of living on the outside, it was a whole lot harder out there than it is, I believe, in here. The Bible declares, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. What's he talking about? Take up your cross. What's he talking about? Bear your cross. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. You mean turn my back upon an ungodly world or from a world in some cases that tried to entrap me and to imprison me with its many vices? Is that what you're telling me? In order for me now to live my life as a sacrifice for God? Yep. And it doesn't stop there, for the true indication, hear this, in how you in your life have taken up your cross will show in and through the outward you, and it will resonate on the inside of you. We sing that song, I've got Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I don't have to put on a hat that says I'm a Christian. I don't have to have a jacket that's got 400 scriptures down the back of it that says I go to church. People should know. They should, hey, don't you talk that way about him. I'll never forget, I was going in for a nasal polyp surgery probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and I was in Prince George, and I was in the hospital there, and I had a Russian Pentecostal doctor. And we went in there, and there was this man in there, and he was one of the orderlies, or I'm not even sure who he really was. But he said, hey, have you ever heard this joke? Man, this is really funny. And he starts to tell it, and all of a sudden this doctor goes, hey, he's a God man. You cut that out right now. I didn't say nothing. He goes, you a preacher? I said, yeah. I said, then if that offends you, just please bring me back if you're the anesthesiologist. Don't talk like that. He's a preacher man. He's God's guy. And that's how they should look about you. Hey, we can tell this filthy joke around him or her. Hey, we can talk that way. Walk by and do something lewd to them. Sure, it's all right. No, it shouldn't be all right. They should be able to see it on the outside and understanding that it's also on the inside. You mean I can't wear that? You're telling me that I can no longer be part of that? Come on, surely God would not frown upon my becoming involved with that. Really? I want you to know tonight that the purpose of our or your bearing a cross is to bring us closer to God in order to be able to have a relationship with God. Let's just kind of be candid here for just a moment. So you're considering getting married, the special guy, the special girl. And maybe you had a lot of girlfriends before, or you had a lot of boyfriends. Well, I'll only visit them, you know, on the weekends, and I'll hang out with you for the week. Anybody want to take? I don't think so. Well, you know, it really doesn't matter who I hang out with. You know, I'll go out with the boys to the bar and leave you at home with the kids if we have them by then. And don't worry. That's God's going to say, well, I have to have a relationship with you. I want you to begin to be my reflection. I don't want you seeking worldly gain when you should have a heavenly goal. And it's not only, folks, this temporal life, but it's also in concerns to the eternal, because I believe that God's coming back for a holy, for a separated people, because the Bible speaks to us about a holy God who we learn about through his holy book, as this God who's looking to bring unto himself a holy people, whom God has gone to prepare a holy heaven, wherein he, our holy God, will dwell with us. That's that relationship. We set apart unto him. When we get married, we set apart to our spouse. We don't go back to our old girlfriends. We don't go back to our boyfriends. We don't go back to that life with the boys or hanging out with the girls. You can have your times, but you are separated one to another. The Bible says we become one twain, one flesh. This twain becomes one. And when we're living with God, we're supposed to be one with God. The cross and our willingness to bear it is where our relationship with God, I believe, truly begins. The purpose of our bearing our cross is in order for us to be able to identify with Jesus Christ. Because you know what the Bible says? Jesus said, I know my sheep and they know me. Amen. He knows when somebody comes into the fold and they're not really one of his. But I live my life for God, but I've heard many people say through the years, but on my terms, how I see fit to live. And if there's something in the Word of God that, you know, it conflicts with me and I choose to accept or to believe, well, it's my life after all, and yeah, I'm sure God in his mercy will understand. Honey, I dated her for 3 years before I met you. Dear, yeah, he was my boyfriend for the whole of high school, and he just moved into town. I just want to go for dinner with him. Yeah. God, you know, I know I'm supposed to be separated with you, and we're gonna be one together, and you want me to be faithful and all that, but come on, it doesn't really matter if I'm faithful or not, does it? Well, I think it would. So with that thought in mind, if you would turn with me, please, to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Let's read verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, be not deceived, because God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Does it really matter? Is it going to be purposed? Well, we got a whole lot of older people here as far as been in church for a long time. But I wonder, sometimes in this walk, do we sometimes get off the path? We start to veer and start to have different mindset and a different thought pattern. You know, I don't think this really matters anymore, or I don't think that's really important, or that's not as important as it used to be, really. Where are we going? We got to keep our eyes on that goal. We got to keep walking, putting one foot in front of the other. We got to keep trusting God and believing that the walk that we're walking one day will take us home. The Bible says, many are called and few are chosen. Blessed are you if you're called, chosen, and you're faithful. I've got to keep doing what I'm doing, not just today, not just in 10 years after living for God. In some cases, 50 years, ours are 38 years. We're talking about bearing our cross, redefining. What are we doing? I am bearing my cross. Why are you bearing your cross? Because one day I want to meet Jesus Christ face to face. When you think about how humanity, how we come to Christ by none other, again, by the way of the cross, the purpose of that cross, I believe, many times in our Christian walk is for our protection. Because without the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, without our or your being able to surrender your life at the foot of the cross, I'm afraid to say that we'd be mercilessly, tongue-tied on that one, subjected to the evils that this world and our adversary, the devil, places on us. if I didn't have a place to go, if I didn't have an altar to kneel at, if I didn't have that secret place, that closet to go and pray to God, if I didn't have that, if I didn't have that cross and say, God, I'm going to throw myself at the foot of the cross and I'm going to surrender my life. Right now, I'm being bombarded and tormented by my enemy. Then you're going to get it. The devil's not going to give you mercy. He's going to lay the guilt and the shame on you. See, even though that the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike, I believe without us being or living under the shadow of the cross, I believe we'd be doomed. You look at the world today. Here we are in COVID-19. It started in February with a two-week break. It was going to stop in 2 weeks. It was going to be two more weeks. It's going to be two more weeks. And now this control that the government got, I don't think they're going to want to ever let go of. The way they're hemming us up and putting us, I think it's just the agenda. And this end time is going to go. And that one world government, never. People outside are scared. They're full of fear. They don't know where they're going. Guess what? I look at the back of the book. I know we win. I know where we're going. What did Paul say? He goes, I know in whom I have believed. I believe that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Against what day? Against the day of perdition. Against the day of a falling away. Against the day of darkness. Aren't you scared? Well, yeah, sometimes you think about what's going on. We are getting a front seat to the end times. But you know, that perfect love is what casts out all fear. Where does that come from? Bearing a cross, having that relationship with God. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Jesus is not going to get up in the middle of COVID and say, you know what, you weren't wearing a mask, and so I got up and I left. You weren't social distance, so I left. No. But I believe he's going to take us through the storm. He's going to keep us in that ship, and he's going to call one day and calm that storm. And if it keeps going where it's going, they're talking about internment camps. They're talking about making people danger to society because you didn't follow the program that the world's. What are we going to do then? They did it in World War II. They did it in Communist China. They're doing it in Communist China. They did it in Germany. They did it back then. It's like a goldfish in a bowl. So what's that got to do with bearing my cross? Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep my eyes on my goal. I'm going to keep carrying my cross. I'm going to keep trusting in God. I think it would get to the place where some of us are going to give our lives for what we believe. I'm not doing that. I'll take the mark. I'll denounce Christ, will you? In all the years that you carried that cross, it got tough. You look at the disciples, you look at many of the followers of Jesus Christ in prison, houses taken, scrounging through garbages and alleys, hiding in dens, being crucified upside down, whipped, beat. They used to think it was great that they'd come back and tell the group at the church house that, you know, hey, look at that. Yeah, those are fresh wounds. You're bleeding pretty good there. It sure is. Yeah, I did that for Jesus. You mean I can't go to McDonald's and they'll close it down? And I can't have what I want? I'm not living for God then. Bearing a cross. The purpose of the cross, along with why we're called upon to bear it, is that God could purchase our freedom. It was the cross where love and mercy and forgiveness of God is found. If you think about your freedom and your redemption, how did it come to us? It came to us by the way of the cross. Before we were foreigners, before we were apostate, before we were outside of the grace of God, until he cried out, it's finished, upon that cross, gave up the ghost, we didn't have no right on what was on the other side of that cross. At the cross is where you lay your burdens down. It's before the cross that we come and seek the mercy of God. The purpose of the cross is for us to be able to carry the message of hope again and salvation to a dying world. For we have been forgiven. What makes you so special? I'm not special. I'm just forgiven. I've been forgiven. You can be forgiven too. And as I said, we're messengers of God's love, his mercy. And we have become God's ambassadors. We have that truth. The Bible talks about sharing that hope that lies within you. You've got something to say. You've got something that many in this world don't have. I want you to know that the world in which we're living in suffers from identity crisis. And that includes some of the so-called Christians in the Christian world as well. What's the reason? Because first, the people in this world who refuse to acknowledge why Jesus Christ, God become flesh, came to this world. And secondly, the so-called Christian world, they don't see their need to bear their cross in their lives the way that Jesus would have them do. So on people go, Christians go, seeking an identity. The world wants to hook into the movie stars and the hairstyles and the clothing styles, and he wore that and she wore that, so I got to... Well, who do you want to identify? I want to identify with Christ. I want to look the way God would be pleased with me. And some people in our modern secular Christian world, well, they're going right along with the world as well. They're looking just like them. There's no difference. You walk in there and say, well, I couldn't tell you apart. We go way back to Kelowna, and we were out playing volleyball down in the park, and there was a group that came, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but the girls, some of them were in bikinis and little shorts, and the guys were in boxers and no shirts, and so we were playing over there, and the ladies were in their dresses, and we were in our pants and our shirts, and we're throwing around. Well, after the game was over, they come on walking over. Hey, guess what? Yeah, we go to the such and such church just down the road, not too far from you guys. You do. Does Jesus know that? You would have had no idea that that group of young people were any different than the world. So I want you to hear what I'm saying tonight. If you say that you identify with Jesus Christ and him crucified according to the Bible, then it's you and I who will not just be asked to, but in some ways will be forced to live our lives differently from those in this world around us. I don't want to look different. You should want to look different. You should want to reflect God. See, bearing your cross is how you discover that this cross-bearing calls for a life of separation and sanctification. It's the cross that demands obedience to God, the God who died upon Calvary's Hill. It's the cross that separates the sheep from the goats. It's the cross that calls for the crucifying the flesh, which we as people live in. We all love to pamper our flesh, but sometimes we got to say no. That flesh has got to die. That flesh has got to be put down. I don't think there's anybody in their right mind wants to get up so they can go to work. Maybe some people like going to work. You know what we all like? We like the paycheck. We like the money that comes from into our bank and that deposit. That's what we like. I don't want to have to work 40 hours or 50 hours just to get that. Just give me the check and let it be over with. See, it's the cross that represents, whether you like it or not, restrictions. Bearing your cross calls for you in your life to live a faithful life unto God, the God that you say that you serve. And many are they who begin this journey who end up saying, I'm sorry, but I just can't. I can't identify with that. I can't see myself giving up or giving up going without my doing the things that I want to do, but now doing what God wants me to do. And those who choose to take that path, I'm afraid, are not going to be the ones that are going to be able to bear the cross in the end. They're not going to be considered one of God's. I will not do that. I refuse. I talk to people, hey, give me the goods. Just lay it on the line. Just tell me all what I need to do. And foolishly, especially when I was younger, not much now. No, you can wait. Don't put the cart before the horse. I just want to know. And you tell them, this is what you got to do, and this is what you got to do, and then their demeanor changes and their whole concept changes and they're not here next week. And they haven't come back to church and you haven't seen them in the store that you work. And well, what was the problem? Because that was a cross and they weren't prepared to bear it. See, by identifying, acknowledging the need of you, bearing your cross is what will cause you to want to live your life in a new level which you must be prepared to live. When we say our I do's, it's a marriage, it's a relationship, one with another. We're saying, it's you and me. When we decide, I want to live this and walk this walk, I want to carry it, I got to be prepared to live it. Why? Because one day I want to go to heaven. And the life that we live will show truly on the outside, are we really carrying our cross, or are we just looking for the perks of a crucified life without paying a price? Could you imagine, folks, just think about it for just a minute. Jesus said, you know what? What did he say in the garden? If it were possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. And then to the cross he went. He bore that whip, the crown of thorns. They cruelly hung him on that cross, nailed him to that cross. What if he would have said on the way up the hill, hey, forget it. This is not what I wanted. I didn't buy into this problem. It's them people's fault, not mine. Here we go. It's Jesus who says in the book of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And it starts with you being willing to bear your cross. See, that's why through the words of Matthew, that Matthew writes the words of Jesus Christ, who says in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Jesus says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. See, tonight, church, the purpose of my sharing with you this study is to bring each of you to a full understanding and a reminder of what bearing your cross for Christ really means. Let's focus. Am I drifting? Have I gone a little bit to the left or to the right? Have I kind of backed up from what I said I believe? Is Jesus still the reason for my living? Over the years, I've heard people say being a Christian and living a Christian life is only, it's only for the weak people. You know, all you weak guys, that's who, why you're living for God. You want a crutch, but I stand in record tonight saying just try walking in the shoes that we as Christians walk in when it comes to bearing your cross. In the end, I'll tell you right now, only the strong survive. Not everybody's going to cross that finish line. Not everybody that stands up and claps their hands and says, I love Jesus, is going to cross over to heaven's gates. The strong survive. You bunch of wimps, oh, really? Walk one day in my moccasins and just see where you go. I believe that we're rounding the corner and we're heading towards our eternal goal, and now more goal, pardon me, and now more than ever, the purpose as well as the reason for you and I to be diligent in bearing our cross is because if you want to hear the words, well done, and not go away. You'd better be doing all that you can to stand for Jesus and to bear your cross if you determine one day to cross that finish line, as I just said. The devil's going to throw in his fray. He's going to throw in his get you sidetracked, try to get you off the purpose, get you scared. I had one fellow tell me just the other day, he said, you know what? I know how to get rid of COVID-19. It's really easy. I said, really? Oh, yeah, it's that quick. I said, what do you do? He said, for people to smash their televisions. Oh, did you hear what they said on the news? Oh, my goodness. Well, thank God we don't have a TV, but anyhow, smash your TV. Why? Because that media is out there pumping it. People are so scared. They're so full of fear. They don't know where to go. And as the world gets darker, I believe the church is going to grow brighter, and our testimony and our witness is going to be what guides people to the foot of that same cross. Finally, tonight in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. in verse 11. The writer writes, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Why is it that some of us are still walking and living for God when others have got off the path? Why is it that, you know, you look back over the years and say, I remember him and her and them and that family and those people, and they're out in the world. Yet they repented of their sins. They were baptized in Jesus' name. They got the Holy Ghost just like you. They started on this cross. Please. Well, where are they today? They got their focus off the purpose of why we need to bear our cross. When you think of bearing your cross, you think of the purpose of what we're doing and why we're doing it. I'm not doing it to be a people pleaser. I'm doing it to please God. I ask you to consider all that I've said tonight, and then to answer, if you can, in your own heart, if it truly is you who bears your cross. Where are you in your walking with God? Will you be the one to bear your cross? We've got folks that are not here tonight. Some are sick and at home, and if they're online and they're listening to us tonight, are they going to be willing to bear their cross? Well, that sounded like a whole lot of deal. I remember as a young man, quickly growing up, I wanted to be an airline pilot, I wanted to be a master chef, I wanted to be this, I wanted to do everything, and then I started looking at the qualifications in order to get it. And here we have people today, I want to be a Christian, yeah, that's what I want. Okay, if any man follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Remember the rich man? I've done everything. What do you want me to do now? Take what you have, sell it, give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. I worked a long time for that money. So I stand before you tonight to declare how that your eternity with or without God depends upon the answer, whether or not you will bear your cross. Last scripture, Matthew chapter 10, and this second portion of verse 22. Remember, I talked about those that are not here no more, those that are not following anymore, and here we stand, and here we are. Matthew chapter 10, the second portion of verse 22. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Many are they who have fallen, and who in their lives who failed in bearing their cross, as this world now gets darker, as the hill gets steeper to climb. And I think we're in for a ride, folks, if it keeps going the way it is. If you want to one day make heaven your eternal home, you'd better be doing what Jesus Christ has called for you to do. Whether you're a young person, you need to set yourself apart. I don't need to follow the kids in school. I need to follow Christ. Oh, but they'll mock me. They'll make fun of me. I don't want to pray for my food on my job or sitting in a restaurant. How embarrassing is that, really? Jesus said, if you're embarrassed of me in this life, when you get to there, I'm going to be embarrassed of you and ashamed of you. I want the world to know that I'm not like you. I'm not better than you. Would you stand with me tonight? Bearing your cross is a commitment unto the end. And I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. I tease and I joke people. I told them it was August the 9th. We just passed. And I know the Wilsons had their anniversary and the Hollins had their anniversary. I said, yeah. I said, we just had our 38th wedding anniversary. I told her, I said, if you'd have killed me 10 years ago, you'd be on parole by now. So now you're doing 38 to life. Well, how long have you been living for God? Well, I've been living for God for 10 years, 20 years, 15, 18, 50, 60 years, whatever. Well, you're still living for God. Yeah, I'm in it for life. I'm in it for life.
Yes.
I don't believe that heaven's going to be a free ride, and until we get there from the start to the end, we're going to be the ones who are going to need to bear their cross. Tonight, when you look into your own heart, when you look into your mind and you think about your life, your lifestyle, what you're doing, are you bearing your cross? Are you an example? Does your life reflect your Father? Is it Him you want to pattern your life after? Are we chasing the things in this world? Are we looking to please people in this world? because if I please men, then I won't be able to please God. That's what the writer of the Bible said. Why don't you consider for just a moment, say, God, is my focus, is my purpose, is what I'm doing, am I really bearing my cross? Am I enduring the pain, despising the shame that the world tries to place upon me for being called a Christian, for living right and righteously? Is it me, God, that's not afraid to bow ahead, to pray? I'm not afraid to tell you who I am and the God that I serve and I represent. Would you just pray for a moment? Just say, God, help me. Help me to redefine. This is why I'm here. God, help me to focus tonight. I want to live for you. I want you to be first in my life.
I would be hopeless without your goodness. Would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross, you have won me with your kindness, chased me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, you bought my freedom. My shame was met with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. Oh, the glory. Oh, the power of the cross. I would be hopeless without your goodness. Would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross.
Are you willing to take up that cross?
Every day.
Every day you're willing to walk that walk, to talk that
Don't
talk.
Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him.
Let's sing this together.
Count the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him.
Mean it from your heart.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Say that you know Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him.
How about it today?
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him. Don't be ashamed,
oh Jesus,
to say that you know Him.
Help us to bear
Him. Count the cost,
counted in that number, separated, God, sanctified, willing to sacrifice, to give, and to live for you.
I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yeah. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
One more time, I'll let you go.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Jesus, I want to bear that cross. God, I want to carry that cross that you
call for us to carry.